excited to get to preach tonight. You turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I gave Mike a PowerPoint. And he said, "Are you sure that's the right one?" So he gave me the controller to run it. You're in trouble. I got a remote control. My wife would say I'm right in my zone with the remote control, but I'm all right. All right, Galatians chapter 6 tonight. As I said this morning in Sunday school, I really had started writing this outline about 6 months ago, but I never had the opportunity to preach it. Wasn't sure what the Lord was doing with it. I just kept it. What I found out was there was a third point that I hadn't experienced yet, and that the Lord was waiting on that. Amen? And I'll show you what I'm talking about. But I think this evening, we are in a dire strait in America. Not only in America, but in America's churches. And we need to be praying for churches, our church and every other church. I'm going to show you. You look around the auditorium, and you see where folks are at and the holes in it. I'm going to show you a picture that looks just like that. And for the same reason. Just like that. Why we're not packed in here and can't find a place to sit, there's a problem in America. And so I want us to look this evening at I titled it Weed and Feed. I had a beautiful yard. I tell you, I even walked it off and measured it. It's over 10,000 square feet. Big yard. Lots of work. And so I'm familiar with the product Weed and Feed. And it goes back a lot farther than that. But let's read our text, and then I'll get into my introduction. In chapter 6 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "And be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. Give me the words, and Lord, your will would be done. I know we're a Sunday night crowd, and as far as I know, everyone's saved, but I don't know everybody's heart. Lord, I pray that as Christians that we would realize how far we have fallen in America, and Lord, that you would encourage us. Encourage us as Christians, encourage us as a church, encourage us to spread the Word of God, the good Word of God, that we might see healthy growth. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this service. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. So today in America, the world seems to want something that they have not sown. This verse says you're going to reap what you sow. But we live a life, and many of us, we live a life that we desire something that we have not sown. We desire a lot of things that we have not worked for. There are individuals that want good from bad seed. Doesn't happen. It's impossible, according to God's word. Folks want apples from an orange tree. It doesn't happen. You cannot do it. We hear much about growth and how it is needed and how it is actually happening. But I say tonight, beware of what is acceptable growth. I say tonight that there are times that we are being spoon-fed by a lost world about something, about what growth is, what's healthy growth and what it is not. We need to beware of what the world is telling us. What we need is healthy growth. Healthy growth. And it comes from the preaching of the Word of God. That's it. That's where it comes from. That's where it's always come from. But somehow we want to reap something different than what we're sowing. You know, we hear so much about immigration, and you know that's how America is built on immigration. It is. It always has been. But it's been the strongest nation in the world because it was built on a healthy and a logical and legal immigration system. By the way, heaven does not have open borders. Heaven vets individuals very closely before they enter in. They must have something that they have sown. I mean, they're reaping what they have sown. Have you sown to Christ? Yes, it says there that in our passage scripture, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm glad I know my Savior. Amen. Now, that has nothing to do with where I'm going. I want us to look back, and some of you are old enough to remember. Most of you. With a few little exceptions, but praise the Lord for them. Amen. Isn't it good to have young people in God's house? Praise the Lord. I love them. They don't bother me a bit. I love seeing young faces. 30 years ago, Weed and Feed was different than it is today. Steve could probably tell us the chemical composition of it. I don't know. But I remember when I got out, I never had a yard when I was in the Army. I tried, but if it grew, it grew. If it didn't, it didn't. But I remember coming home, and even when I was a kid, my mom would spread Weed and Feed. And when she would spread, I mean, I'm telling you, it was a push mower time, no riding lawnmowers, and my mom's yard has fruit trees in it, and it's at least an acre. And there wasn't no riding lawnmower when I was a kid. It was pushing. And my mom would spread this stuff, and it would almost instantly, I mean, you put that stuff on, and you put the irrigating water on the yard, and I mean, you could tell it down to the inches where she missed, because the growth was a deep, dark, blue, green, beautiful grass, jumped 6 inches almost instantly where she missed didn't. That, I mean, there was quick, healthy growth. We can go back 30 or 40 years in Christianity, and churches could grow in the 70s. They could grow fast, and they could grow healthy. Now, again, I know there's churches growing fast today, but it ain't all healthy. But there were some churches, this church and other churches, that back in the 60s and 70s, you know, I sat and listened to Mrs. Snooks, 97, 95 years old, however old she was, talk about door knocking every week and how souls were getting saved and people were coming to church. I mean, there was something going on to the point, the preaching to the point where the world realized something was going on down there at the old church house, and they were curious. If nothing else, if they didn't get saved on somebody's doorstep, they came to church and heard the Word of God preached, and something happened. Amen. It was healthy growth. It was saved souls. Whether it was the testimony of a Christian was such in the workplace that the world recognized the difference, and when it came time to search out a heart matter, they knew who to go talk to. It wasn't their drinking buddy. Talk about their marital problems. It wasn't that old raunchy dude at the water fountain that they went to talk to about spiritual problems. They went and searched out that Christian. When somebody come to a man or a woman and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" "Well, yes, I am, by the way, but how did you know that?" Obviously, there was a obvious testimony of Jesus Christ, and I got a problem, and folks were led to Christ, and there was healthy growth. But I want to tell you what there was too in my mom's yard. There was healthy growth, and it was quick growth, but there was also quick death. I mean, I was amazed. You could go out there and what was full of dandelions was laying over dead, wilted in a day or two. and the grass grew, and the dandelions died, and man, I mean, it was amazing to watch. That 30 years ago, see, when that quick death, when the Bible says that there are things of the old creature that die, and it dies instantly, not gradually or partially, but that it dies. Colossians 3:3. Now I want you to listen to this, you English teachers, all the present tense verbs in these passages of Scripture. In other words, it's for us right now, today, this very moment. It says in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's a done deal. It's not being. You're not being saved, by the way. If you're being saved, you need to ask Jesus to come save you, because whatever you're doing, I don't know. It's works. When Christ saves you, he saves you completely. He saves you instantly. And the old creature, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's instant. It happens. And I mean, listen, folks, therefore, if any man be in Christ, there ought to be some healthy growth, and there ought to be some healthy death. There ought to be some things that are gone. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is, present tense, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. At salvation, by the way, that's when that takes place. Now, if you have a version besides the King James Bible, your version may say you're a being. But I'm not being saved. I'm as saved today as I'm ever going to be. Am I sinless? No. Am I going to fall? Yes. Do I do that which I hate? Yes. But I'm saved as I'm ever going to be. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not just saying that that happens just 30 years ago, but we saw a lot of it 30 years ago, and it was a result of things. It was a result, that revival, that quick growth and quick death. There was a reason for it. Again, going back to the weed and feed, Steve could probably tell me, because he's into chemicals. But all of a sudden, the government came along. I guess I could guess which agency it is. We won't call out EPA, but that's probably the dirty dogs that we're trying to unregulate now. They came along and they decided that they needed to change something, that weed and feed was just too dangerous. The problem is, it's too dangerous to the weeds. It killed them dead. Changed everything. I don't know. They wouldn't want to kill a poor weed, you know. That same government, maybe a different agency, decided that they needed to come into the school system and change what had been working for hundreds of years and remove the Pledge of Allegiance, remove praying before every day started, remove teaching children actually out of the Word of God. 100 years ago, most everybody had learned to read out of the Word of God. By the way, the King James Bible. Amen? So I guess ye's and these are okay. So, when the government gets involved, it's not a lot of good things happen. The government got involved and weed and feed changed. You say, well, that's silly. But folks, relate that to the Word of God. Relate that to our nation. When this politically correct garbage comes in and plays an effect, the government we got to be a little more understanding. Not according to the Bible, we don't. We have to be as understanding as the Word of God is. Say, that's mean. But you know what the Bible says about political correctness? In Ephesians 5:6, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, don't let any man sugarcoat it for you. I don't know. Maybe you like it sugarcoated, but I don't. I want it straight. I want it hard. I want it whatever it is. I don't want to guess when I walk out of here What does that mean? What did that mean? What did he mean by that? Now tell me. I'm kind of dumb, I know, but I need it straight. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That word vain means worthless. There's a lot of worthless garbage going on out there in the airways and in public. A lot of vain words. Listen, why though? He's talking to Christians. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Why? For because of these, what? Those vain words. These things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Wow. Because of us heeding vain words and being politically correct, we have literally brought the wrath of God on our nation. Well, we're going to blame the drunkards and the alcoholics or the prostitutes or we're going to blame the atheists. No! They need to look in the mirror. It's Christians who have heeded the vain words of the world and have stopped heeding the word of God. Some government agency, listen, Isaiah said, and he said, repair the breaches. Don't create more of them. We're creating. Jeremiah says, we're to ask for the old paths. You know what worked before? Could create a healthy body again, by the way. You know that door knocking invitation, aggressive bus routes, you go on and on. You remember, some of you remember those things, that when this church ran 450 people, what were we doing? Were we sitting around doing nothing? Or are we aggressively seeking the lost, telling the lost about Jesus? Were we living a life that's different than today? I mean, listen, you know what it'd look like in here with 450 people? I do want to scare you. I want to scare us into activity. We ought to be concerned about these empty seats in front of us. We ought to be concerned about that. What has happened? My question is the same question that Jesus asked. Where are the laborers? Where are the laborers? He said the laborers are few. There's a lot of work to do, but the laborers are few. Some of you are not up to walking every street in Dumas and knocking on every door in Dumas because of health reasons. So where have we failed? I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm pointing this finger. Because my generation, we have dropped the ball on raising up young people who are wanting to serve God. And I don't mean show up to church on Wednesday night. That's not serving God. We have not been giving them the right weed and feed. We're not giving them the right instruction. And whose responsibility is it? It is the mature Christians. That's the crowd that I'm talking to tonight, with a few exceptions. It's our responsibility to install this in the young people in the generation, my son's generation, some of you children's generation. They have missed something. And it's our fault. Don't blame the world. The world's done what they've always done. The world hasn't changed since Genesis 3. It's full of sin. Now, back to the weed and feed. Last year, I used the traditional bag of weed and feed. You know, the yellow one that everybody sees in Walmart. And there's the grass grew faster, but nothing like it did in my mom's lawn. And not near as quickly. I mean, it was a little faster and a little greener. It did. But you know what? It declared on that bag, it declared it kills dandelions. Liars. I got the worst dandelion problem you ever seen. I literally rototilled part of my yard under the other day, not to reseed it, because I'm sick of dandelions. My yard, my beautiful yard that once was. It says kills dandelions. I took the empty sack back to Walmart and said, I want my money back. She said, what? I said, false advertising. You know, I got pictures on my phone. I'll show you. Like, good thing for smartphones, huh? I said, see that? That's a dandelion where your product was put. they refunded my money. But it didn't help my yard. It didn't kill one single dandelion last year. Not one. In my mom's day, two days they were just, I mean, they were dead. Over with. Never to be seen again. Well, I can't say that. Dandelions are because of sin. And they do come back. But praise the Lord. Something happened in the chemical mixture that the government has now given us. When a dandelion cannot even wilt when it's given weed and feed and it's supposed to weed. What's the weed part? It means it's healthy for the weeds and the feeds. And feeds the weeds. It's not nearly, last year was not nearly as green as it would have been 30 years ago, but man, it looked good. But it's with a weaker product. A weaker product than the past. You know, it makes me think in churches around the country today are preaching a less offensive gospel. Amen. Listen, if the gospel offends you, you need to get right with God. Amen. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a more wonderful thing. What more better news can you share with somebody if that offends you, that he did it all, you do nothing. You need to get right with God. If that gospel of Jesus Christ that says you don't have a part in your salvation offends you, maybe you're believing in your works to get you to heaven. But I'm telling you, we have been preaching a less offensive gospel, and you look back, and some of you are a lot, I won't say a lot older than me, some of you are a little more mature than I am, and you remember some of those old-time preachers that preached on hell. Seemed like every single Sunday. Did they ever get tired of preaching on hell? Huh? And they were getting saved. I mean, people were come to an altar and couldn't wait to get saved in case they took their last breath. They were in a hurry to get saved. I mean, that's, hell is an offensive thing to a lost person. It ought to be, but because we water it down doesn't change it, doesn't make it any cooler. They're still going to the Luke 16 fire where the torment never ceases. Listen, do you love your neighbor? Do I love my neighbor enough to tell him about that? Or are we going to give them God is all about love. And as they drink their beer on Sunday afternoon, they're going, stupid Christian, wasting their time. I mean, you tell them, there's a hell, and you're going there if you don't know Christ. Even if they kick you off their lawn, they got to go back and think about that one for a minute. Most do not remember 30 years ago lawn care, but I that stood out in my mind. I remember as a kid and as a young adult, it stood out in my mind. I was so impressed with the beautiful color of the grass and how quick it grew and how fast it killed. And I tell you, that's our salvation. We ought to be quick to grow, and death ought to, the death of the flesh ought to be instant. And I know some of you are more mature than I am. You remember a Christian America. Some of these young people have never known. Some of these younger people, and I don't know, maybe even Curtis is aging down. I don't know, maybe Curtis does. But you remember when there was nothing open on Sunday? You couldn't buy gas. You had to get gas on Saturday so you could go to church, or you were not going to go to church. If you needed a loaf of bread on Sunday, you better buy it on Saturday because the grocery store was not open on Sunday. I vaguely remember it. I'm young like Curtis. I remember that. I was dumbfounded. I remember when the grocery store opened on Sunday. You know when it was? Right when I was 16 years old and bagging groceries. That was convenient. I got to work Sunday, Dad. And he let me. He should have said, you quit that job right now. Tell him you cannot work on Sunday or quit. Listen, I know we have people that have to work on Sunday, but a 16-year-old doesn't. He needs to hear the word of God. But back in the day, there was nothing to worry about because it wasn't open. I praise the Lord for firefighters and policemen and folks like that that work on Sunday and keep us safe, aren't you? I praise the Lord for them. But I remember a day in the oil field when I had the choice. Out of the will of God, take Sunday off or work it. Make more money. So I worked it and sent my wife to church. I'm ashamed of that. Bless her heart, she always took our kids. And God got a hold of me and praise the Lord, he changed all that. He fixed it. You know what he did? He crippled me. Now you got all the time in the world to go to church. That's not how you want to have to go to church. That weed and feed last year, it turned it a little bit greener. But I'm telling you, right now, we as Americans and we as Christians, we are planting seed. We plant seed. But we're also weakening the fertilizer every single year. Truth is, we're planting seed. And I'm telling you tonight, I appreciate you being here on a Sunday night because I twisted your arm this morning in Sunday school. I appreciate your faithfulness. No, really. But you know what? If you are sitting home with your children on a Sunday night, you are planting seed. It isn't good seed, but you are planting seed. And what did our passage of Scripture says? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I have a daughter that I adopted when she was 12. And I was not living for the Lord. And she saw a testimony in me that give it or take it. And guess what? My grandchildren are not being raised in God's house today. I am reaping what I sowed. I can blame her all I want, but I'm reaping what I sowed. I'm telling you what, God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And that's the day that Paul wrote that, and it is today. In your house or in America or in our church, preaching, we ought to desire powerful preaching. We don't want a weaker product than the past. Listen, the Word of God has not changed one bit. We don't need to water it down. It's awesome. It's great. Hollywood made movies based on this book. That'd be some exciting stuff. I mean, some of it would have to be R-rated as Goliath's head comes ripping off. That's pretty powerful stuff. When a boy with the faith of God in God Almighty slings a stone at a 9-foot-tall giant and says, I'm not afraid of you because I know who's behind me. That's good stuff, amen? I feel sorry for the young people who haven't had Sunday school or a Wednesday night program or children's church where they learn those stories. Amen. My wife was not raised in church, and I take it for granted every day, and I forget when I'm talking to her sometimes that some of these stories are new to her. I love her testimony about working with my mom in I think 5-year-olds. And she said, I felt like one of the students. As your mom taught Sunday school to the 5-year-olds, they were stories I had never heard before. And I was sitting on the edge of my seat enjoying it. We forget the world that we've grown up in or that we have created. Now, that brings us to this year. Now, I only had point one and point two. The weed and feed of 30 years ago and the weed and feed of last year. And I thought it was a pretty good sermon. and I never got an opportunity to share it. Lord, what's up? Now I know. And most of you have seen some of these pictures. You know what I'm talking about. Out of 10,000 square foot yard that was to kill for. Envy of my neighborhood. I live in a very nice neighborhood and beautiful lawns everywhere. And mine was green before anybody else's. Boy, there's envy and pride there, huh? Yeah, you could be prideful. Lord taught me about that. Now, I was thinking this morning, maybe the Lord did what he did so that I could share this message. That's a small price to pay. This year I decided that when I went into Walmart to buy my weed and feed, hey, there was a purple bag. That's bright and shiny and pretty. I mean, it says bonus plus. I must be better than the yellow bag, huh? I mean, right on the front. Big letters. It says, kills dandelions, kills clover. I got a clover problem too. Kills clover, kills dandelions. But I did not do my due diligence. I only read what was in big, bright letters and not the fine print. Only listen to the great claims that were made on the label. Does that sound like some of our young people being betrayed by the churches around us? They're being betrayed by a big fancy sign, big bright lights, big fancy programs, some false claims. Love without truth is not love. Love without truth is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching without the blood is not preaching at all. Listen, those bright lights, there's some false claims churches make today. Well, we're just all-inclusive. Well, God just loves everybody. Well, that's true. I'm not going to say that's not true, but listen, you better tell them they're a sinner headed to hell or you've done them no good. There are some claims and I had a little problem with my weed and feed this year. Started out really good. I mean, my grass took off and grew. And everybody else's was still brown. Most of my neighbors hadn't even started watering. I'm kind of one of them guys a little ahead of myself. I mean, it's March. I'm running the sprinklers and fertilizing. I mean, it grew. I had to go out and change the oil and the lawnmower early this year because my grass grew so fast. I went out and I mowed. And a man, lo and behold, it grew another 6 inches. And the next week, it was that much taller. The next week, I thought, man, I have got it figured out. It's the purple bag with the big pretty letters on the front. It's a bonus. That was my first, second mowing. Mike, am I going to be able to turn this on? Now, that's just my front yard. March 31st, 2018. You can already see some things beginning to change. Before this, it was lush purple, green, blue, green, beautiful grass. But I could start seeing some yellow coming in there, and I got concerned, and I thought, what is going on? What's going on with my lawn? I mean, I fertilized it, I thought, with a good product, I thought. But now, Scott's Lawn Care tells me they have the right to sell this product anywhere they want. And that the world says now that they have the right to peddle whatever death they want. Just drive across the border into Colorado and see what they're peddling. The world says, we can do whatever we want with your family. We can teach your children whatever we want in public school. Now, wait a minute, it stops right there because in church now you can't peddle this and this and this. And it's not real fair that they're changing that. But I'm telling you, churches are changing the packaging to seem more appealing, to be to the lost world. If I'm having a spiritual problem, And somebody says, I got the answer. Well, if you're lost, you have no Holy Spirit, why would you not? I mean, it's big and shiny, like the bag of Scots. But I'm telling you, they're changing the packaging to seem more appealing to the lost world. Churches are. But I want to tell you something tonight, that church is a place for Christians to be fed. Amen. That's what church is for. Church is for you and I to be fed by the Word of God. And so the lost, we're to take what we learn out of the Scripture and to go out and get them. They're white fields all ready to harvest. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. And to go out and reach the lost. And we ought to be appealing to Christ, not to the lost world. But that's what many churches have done. So I wonder tonight, have you done your due diligence? Have you read more than just the label in what we're being spoon-fed by the world today? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but listen, we got to wake up. If we don't wake up to what's going on in our world, the next generation is gone, if they're not already gone. I'm telling you, those little girls sitting right there, praise the Lord, they're in church tonight. But that age is going to decide about whether I am euthanized as an older individual. They're going to be the ones in Congress passing laws. They're going to be the ones in Supreme Court rulings. They're going to be the ones. Where are they at? Are they hearing the Word of God? Or are they hearing some watered down fluffiness? Listen, I want to hear about David killing Goliath. That's a good story. And his faith in God. And teaching his young people to trust God. The yard appeared to grow. Sadly, that is March 31st, 2018. 1 month to the day, that's my lawn. The prettiest lawn in the neighborhood. Ain't so pretty no more, is it? I tell you, that is what's been so discouraging to me all year long, all summer. I know summer's only half gone, but man, how discouraging. They said, we have the right to put that in there. The chemist in Amarillo said, oh yeah, that'll kill everything except. It's called weed and feed. The only thing healthy in my yard is weeds. They didn't put on the fine print. I haven't found the fine print because I threw the bag away. Where it says in big letters, kills dandelions and clover leaf and all this stuff. They forgot to write it in there. It kills bluegrass. It kills fescue. It kills Bermuda. It kills every grass on the planet but St. Augustine's. Anybody here got St. Augustine's? That's what I thought. Nobody. Why are they selling the junk around here? Am I upset with Scots? Sure. They killed my lawn. I tell you, everything except for what was supposed to die. And I would say, if I can do this right without flipping, I want you to look at this picture. And I want you to take a look back around the auditorium. Is that what it looks like? You see those in church? They're hitting and missing. The pews, there's a little bit here, a little bit there. But of our, what the healthy church is only on the fringe. Folks, our nation's in trouble if we don't get to praying and preaching the Word of God like it meant something, like we're serious about it, because the gospel is being extinguished. The good grass is dying while sin is not only abounding, but it's being promoted. I think the Bible says something about that, doesn't it? When good is called evil and evil is called good, what does that tell us? We're getting close to the end times. There. Huh. We eat and feed. Only survivor in that little section. I guarantee you he has some friends now that are abounding in my yard. And that's the way sin is. When we remove preaching of the Word of God and hellfire and telling folks sin is sin, that's what happens to our churches. That's what happens to our homes. And that little devil right there has friends with roots that deep in my yard. You see this little section right here? That little square right there? My spreader wouldn't reach it. That little, I mean, this is the picture Scott's got before, after. And saw Molly's little hind end. Before and after. That's to the dirt, folks. That's dead to the dirt. You know what they told me? Don't bother planting seed. Your soil is sterile for 6 months. As my neighbors love me and think I'm not running my water. It killed everything. My neighbors, they drive by and you see that finger pointing out the window. I know I'm just guessing what they were saying, but look at how that was the prettiest lawn. That guy quit paying his water bill. You know what the truth is? With this lawn, I have the highest water bill I've ever had in my life. $486 last month. Wow, that's a house payment. I about choked on it. $486 to have a yard that looks like that? Listen, we have some... It's a point we are in America. We're spending a lot more money and getting a lot less results. That's me right there, the water bill. That's America. We spend all this money on flash and trash and call it church sometimes, and some around the country, and they wouldn't know preaching if it slapped them in the face. And they call it church. We need to pray, folks. I'm telling you, it's folks that are sitting here on a Sunday night that need to be on their knees and praying for this next generation. And we need to be in a testimony, an example to them, or that's what the whole country's going to look like. Because when death reigns, sin reigns, only death is the result. Some say, well, it's all in the packaging. You know, how are we going to grow a church? It's how we package it. No, not according to my Bible. It's in the contents, not in the packaging. Listen, there are guys that go out and preach on the street corner and have more results than some of the churches in this town. They see more souls saved than big buildings. It's not in the packaging. It's in the contents and the Word of God. So tonight, what is our content? Think about it from your personal perspective, your family perspective. If you teach a Sunday school class or you work on a bus or whatever perspective that God has placed you in, think about that content is important. Think about what God would have for you. What is our content? A building, a sign, a Facebook page? That's pretty shallow if that's our content. But if our content is loving the Word of God so much we would die for it, as we're about to hear in the next few weeks in Sunday school. I mean, men who stood and burnt at the stake because they loved the Word of God so much and refused to recant Christ and refused to quit preaching, hell is hot. And we don't need a grand poopah. And we don't trust, that is not my authority, but the Holy Scriptures are my authority. And they burn at the stake. And praise God all the way. Amen. John Wycliffe, wow, what a guy. First written, or translated English New Testament he wrote. And, I mean, this man refused. He run for his life. Men like William Tyndale, I don't want to get into Sunday school. We'll be here all night. How do I say our content, those weak, superficial things that will be gone in a million years, they don't matter. I know it is nice to have a building. It is nice to have an air conditioner, amen? God is good. And God provides, and praise the Lord that God has provided. But listen, we need to have a testimony of a zeal for the things of God that is so powerful that the world walks in the door. That the world sees a testimony at work, and they come and say, "What do you have? I must have it. I can't wait till Sunday. Tell me about Christ." How many could lead a soul to Christ today, a co-worker to Christ? So, well, I don't know. Listen, if you're saved, you can lead a soul to Christ. If you're saved, you know how you were saved. That's all it is telling somebody, "Hey, Jesus died on the cross. I'm a sinner, and I was going to a literal devil's hell, but Jesus died on the cross, and his blood paid for my sins. And because I put my faith in him, that I don't have to go to that place." That's pretty simple. I mean, get excited about it like that too. I mean, listen, if you can't get excited about your salvation, something's wrong. We need to have a zeal and a love for God that sends us to the lost souls. It does in our missions program, but it ought to on your street corner, your block, your grocery store, your workplace. What's wrong with America? That's what's wrong with America. My neighbors kindly came to me after we got back from the 4th, seeing our son. This lady hadn't talked to me in a year. And she came over and she said, "Man, your yard's looking better." "Well, you didn't come talk to me when it was dead. You just complained about it." But it says, "Man, I told the kids, look at the neighbor's yard." Didn't know my name to tell the kids, I guess. I don't know. Didn't say Dennis's yard. But look at the yard. Look, it's getting green again. That's today. You see, from here, it looks like there's one little dead spot there maybe I'm missing. Looks good, doesn't it? Only from a distance. Only from a distance. My neighbors come and says, "You know, man, your yard is looking so good." And I said, "It's all weeds. It's all weeds. There, I've planted 100 pounds of grass seed. And if you pry apart those death weeds that are hanging onto the ground and they flat on the ground so much they smother anything that's good, if you pull them back, you'll see some sprigs trying hard to come to life and they're trying to grow." And I think that's what we see here tonight, is there are some Christians who really want to grow. They want to grow enough to come on Sunday night here preaching from a crazy preacher. They're hanging on for dear life, and there's some sprigs out there. But I'm telling you, isn't that sad? That looks good. But when the fall comes, most likely that is going to turn dead as a hammer like the concrete. And the only way to fix it is to plow it under. That's sad now, especially if those few pieces start growing. America, without the word of God and strong preaching of it, something is going to grow in the absence of the good. Oh yeah, we remember what it was like 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Man, I do. I miss those days. It was exciting. I mean, you had to find a place to sit in church. But America, without that kind of preaching, that offensive kind, you know, the kind that the world hates so bad, that's what it looks like. That's what America's like. Well, we got churches on every corner. We do. That looks just like that right there. Now, it's deceiving, isn't it? I mean, from a distance, it doesn't look bad. My neighbor thought we had solved the problem. I haven't solved the problem. I got a bigger problem. because this dirty dog things here are growing roots to China. When I tried to dig some of them up, of course they got runners from me to Dale. And when I tried to, you pull the runners up and pull the runners up until you find the root, the core of the plant. And then I dig and dig. And when I pull up, I get a clump of dirt about that big comes up. And a few of those good grass seeds are in there that die with it when I throw it away. Does that remind you of a story in the Bible where the Lord was talking about the wheat and the tares in Matthew? See, he says, don't pull up the bad or you'll kill the good. I have to wait till the end and plow it under. I don't know, unless the Lord does a miracle and I start liking weeds. I mean, it's green. Neighbors think it's okay. That's what we've done in church. As long as my neighbors think we're okay. But maybe in your life, it's not okay. Maybe there's something in your life that the neighbors think is okay. They see it as green from a distance. I mean, they go to church every Sunday night, for crying out loud. What could be wrong in their life? But you know, is there something between you and God that keeps you from being having that type of testimony? Something that keeps you from being that type of Christian that the world can't live without? They need it now. I'm telling you that the passage of Scripture in the Bible where the man, I gotta go. The man who got rid of the evil spirit, swept and garnished his room, cleaned it all up, looked pretty. You can clean your life up all you want, but if you clean it up without filling it with the Holy Spirit, you can quit smoking, drinking, carousing, and all those things, but if you do not get saved, you still go to a devil's hell. Amen. Guess what happened to that guy? He didn't fill it with the Holy Spirit and had seven devils worse than before. And I think that's where we're getting in America today. What's this picture, what seemed to be green, is truly choking out the good grass. Isn't that sad? And the wheat and tares. I'm going to close, but I want to think about these last few verses in Revelations when Jesus said, he's speaking to the church. A specific church, not a universal church. But he's telling them, and for our use also, he says, nevertheless, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. And that's to a church. He's saying the whole church needs to repent. It's not because they were all whoremongers or drunkards. They had left their first love. What was their first love? Man, I got saved today. Man, I've been redeemed. I'm a child of God. They've left that. They've left the love of Christ that saved them. And now they're kind of getting lukewarm. This is to a church. And I tell you, God would say we could use this in our church as an example. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at churches, but let's just say us. Except that we repent. God says, I could remove your candlestick real quick. I could put Ichabod on that door where it is dead. It's over with. Except you come back to the first love. Christ Jesus. And what filled the churches 40 years ago could fill the churches again if we would get serious about it. If we, this crowd right here, the love of God and the love of the Word of God was so powerful in our lives and so overwhelming that it spilled outside these doors, and we see souls saved and they come in and the church, well, that's healthy growth. And that's what I pray for. One of the most beautiful lawns in the neighborhood is now green with weeds choking grass. Green does not always mean good. And I would say, in America, we're in trouble. I'm not being mean, but the majority of churches, that's what they look like right there. They're green. But in reality, that's what they look like. Look around you again. Well, this is not like that. That's not what we look like tonight. We look like that. Folks, I'm not being mean. How did it get from that point to this point? You remember. I wasn't here. I wasn't even born, probably. And some of you can remember. When the church was busting at the seams and needing to build. What was the cure? What was the fertilizer? I tell you what, it sure wasn't Scott's purple bag. It was the Word of God. And Christians who believed that this book was the answer and held all the answers, and they didn't need to hear from a professor. They had the Word of God. They didn't need it. They got it right here. We love our church. Does your prayer life show you love your church? I mean, this ought to break our hearts. Isn't that sad? Have a broken heart over a stupid lawn. But I don't know if they're my neighbors saved. I'm guilty. I'm admitting it. I'm guilty. I have not asked my neighbor if he's going to hell, if he knows Jesus Christ is his Savior. But I grieve over my yard. That's why America is like it is today. Because we'll grieve over something goofy like this and not grieve over the souls of our neighbors. Let's make it a point this week to pick a neighbor. Trust God. Try God. He says, try me. Pray for a neighbor. Pray for a neighbor and beg God to give you an opening. And God will open the door eventually. Ask God, say, I want an opportunity to tell a neighbor about Christ. To invite them to church. I want them to see a testimony in me they don't see anywhere else. I want to show them some hope. I have a hope that they don't have. I want to show them that. Would that be your prayer this week? If you love your church and you love your Savior, that's the remedy to that. It's still the same thing. It's the same thing it was 40 years ago. It's preaching this. Hot and hard. That's what filled churches with converts 40 years ago, and the Word of God has not changed. Amen. So what has? Well, I tell you what, we need to pray for our leadership. We need to pray for pastors around our country. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for our fathers and our mothers and our children. And tell them about the Word of God and how great God is. Let's stand him. Brother Curtis, if you'll come and we'll have a song of invitation. Maybe you have a neighbor. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a loved one that you don't know if they're going to heaven or not. Maybe you just need to take some time and pray for them. If you can't come to an altar, you can sit and pray right where you're at. I'd say we all have someone that we could pray for tonight. We have a church we can pray for. We have campers we can pray for. I'm telling you this week, if you're not motivated to pray for those campers are the future of this church. They're the future. A Bible Baptist church. In 20 years, how many of those standing here tonight really believe they'll still be here in 20 years? And who will be? Those campers, if God gets a hold of their hearts. Someone we might lead to Christ if God would get a hold of their hearts through our testimony.
Yes.
have a few announcements. Of course, we remember.